driven a ways to be here. It is great to see some very familiar faces from the Columbus area. Columbus will always feel like home in many respects to me and my family. But it is good to see also many of you who were here last night. Appreciate you being back here first thing this morning. If you're joining us for the first time this weekend, welcome. We're glad that you're here. As Jason mentioned, hopefully you got a packet. If you didn't, I think there's still plenty of them back there in the foyer. We're going to be on the second page of that packet this morning. If you weren't able to join us last night, we spent a little bit of time talking more conceptually about this digital age in which we live. It is an amazing time to be alive in many, many respects. We enjoy things that previous generations just could not even imagine. My grandfather just passed away this past year. He was born in 1919. And to talk with him about the changes that he saw from 1919 all the way into 2017, it is just amazing how our society, how culture has changed, and much of that is driven by technology. We talked last night about many of the virtues of this digital age in which we live. There's plenty of vanities attached to this age, but also some very real dangers. And that is where we ended last night, but we tried to emphasize that technology in and of itself is not bad. I don't want you to walk away this morning at the end of our time just thinking that, well, there is nothing good whatsoever associated with technology. I was very thankful to ride in a car from the Louisville, Kentucky area over to here. I think we're all thankful for air conditioning this morning, and we'll gradually get more and more thankful as the day moves along. I'm wearing a very smart watch on my wrist. I'm going to lean on a GPS system to get me home. Technology is not the devil by any means. It is a great tool, as we emphasized last night. But it is a horrible master. And just like many great tools, when we get things out of order or out of perspective, and we start drawing our sense of identity and worth and value from those tools, they become masters, and they are horrible, horrible masters. This morning, what I'd like to do is try and get a little more practical with you, just talking about this social media world in which we live. You have your Bibles open there to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1 of that chapter. A very wise statement. We're going to spend a good amount of time in the book of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. I told you last night that I'm a part of really a hinge generation when it comes to this idea of social media and so much of the digital technology that has really become kind of the air that we breathe today. I remember growing up without much of it, but I'm also raising three girls who just assume this is the way the world has been for a very, very long time. But I'd like to share with you, especially those of you who are younger than me, the value of a good name. I have a lot of peers who have learned the hard way in using social media over the course of the last decade or so, how easily a good name can be absolutely destroyed. And they have destroyed their good name and their good reputation through the use of social media. I have some very good friends who would be very honest in telling you, if I knew the toll that using social media in the way that I have used it would take on my reputation, I would never have signed up for social media. And as we ended last evening, nothing wrong inherently with social media. It is not in any way creating something that is not there. What it is doing is amplifying what is already in my heart. It's providing a window. Or you might think of a big bullhorn that I put right there beside my mind. And whatever it is that is on my mind, if I give, as we will see what the writer of Proverbs describes as, full vent to what's in my mind, suddenly now I have this big bullhorn. You know, it used to be in order to reach a great many people, you had to go through a publisher. And even before you got to the publisher, you had to go through an editor. And maybe you could reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people, but whatever you wanted to say had to go through trained eyes, careful minds. And only once you had cleared a few hurdles would all of that be published to the masses. No more, obviously. Now, anyone and everyone can have a platform, and in many ways that is celebrated as a great development. In a lot of ways, that is an incredible development. But in the process of fully exercising this incredible platform where I can, at an instant, talk to hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people, what many of us have not thought about is the value of a good name. And here is this exceedingly wise man telling us, if you have a whole lot of riches on one side, I mean, you just imagine stacking all of the dollar bills and the gold and silver coins on one side, and then you put a good name on the other side, a good name is more valuable. A good reputation is more valuable. Because you can buy a whole lot of really neat stuff with a whole lot of money. But you can't buy another name. You can't buy a good reputation. And there are a whole lot of people whose reputations have been stained, maybe for a very long time, by the way that they have used these incredible tools. That's the lens through which we want to look this morning. And we're going to do a little bit of reading in the New Testament. If you'll open your Bibles back to Ephesians 4, we'll be back in Proverbs. But what I'd like to do with you over the course of the next half hour or so is really root ourselves in Ephesians 4 and 5. And we'll note several different statements from these verses as we make some practical points, but I'd just like to read with you the entire text here, beginning in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. So however you access God's Word, if it's a paper Bible, if it's on some sort of a device, make sure you have that open to Ephesians 4. And let's read together beginning in verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to Christians in Ephesus, and he says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds." There's a lot here, but we're just going to read it and then come back and dissect it a little. "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Those last three verses that we read, verses 15, 16, and 17, are really where we began last evening. Discipleship in the digital age. A disciple is a learner, but more than a learner, I learn, and then what I have learned compels me to follow. Follow the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so I'm looking carefully at how I am walking. And we emphasized last night that sometimes there are things that are right and things that are wrong, but there are also things that maybe are wise and not so wise. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days or evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so, a lot there in Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5. Let's use that as a grid. Go back with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, and let's use some of those statements from Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5 to ask, what sort of reputation am I building? A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. So what sort of name am I building? And I just like to ask some diagnostic questions with you. Questions that are hard. Questions that maybe make us uncomfortable. They make me uncomfortable. They're questions that are encouraging us to evaluate who we really are. Number one, am I building the reputation of someone who isn't thinking before they share? We heard the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:17 say, "Now this I testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." Everyone is walking through life. Not everyone is thinking as they walk. Everyone is excited about enjoying this new day. Not everybody is thinking about how life is connected. What I do today impacts my tomorrow. I'm not living in a vacuum. The steps that I'm taking, they are gradually forming a path, and every path has an eventual outcome. And lots of us enjoy taking steps through the path of life day after day after day. Not all of us are thinking about where the path that we are on is ultimately going to lead. You have your Bibles open there to Proverbs 14. You look at verse 16 of that chapter. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. One who is wise is cautious. Cautious about what I share. You know, the thing about social media is, if I share it, my name is now attached to it. And a good name, if I had all of these riches on one side and a good name on the other side, the good name is worth more than all of those riches, wisdom is telling me. And so I'm cautious. Because when I share it, people see my name. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is reckless and careless. A fool lives as if life is not connected. I do what I want to do today, and tomorrow there ought not to be any consequences. I share what I want to share, and there ought to be no accountability attached to that. Well, I can choose to believe that, but that doesn't mean that it's wise to believe that. Am I building the reputation of someone who isn't thinking before they share? You go with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Am I building the reputation of someone who has a hard heart? I mentioned to you last evening that we are doing our best to raise a 17-year-old and a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old. And I have noticed, maybe you have noticed as well, how common it is for children in 2018 to have and to advertise and to proclaim in what they wear and to proclaim in what they share, how cool it is not to care. And in many ways, that is attached to very innocuous things. You know, I now have short hair and I don't care. I don't understand that as a guy, but I see girls saying all the time. And okay, not necessarily anything wrong with that. But this idea of, I'm going to just put this out there and I don't care what you think. I'm going to do this and I don't care what that resonates within your mind, because you live in whatever way you want to live, and I'll live in whatever way I want to live. You dress in whatever way you want to dress, and I'll dress in whatever way I want to dress, and I really don't care. If you care, well, that's your problem, but I don't care. Well, the problem is God tells us we ought to care. You remember what we read from Ephesians 4 in verse 18. These Gentiles, they are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Or if we flip that and look at it from a different angle, hardness of heart allows, invites ignorance, and ignorance creates an environment where I can be alienated from life. What does God want for me? We learned last evening, God wants life for all of us, and the good life, the best life. He wants us to have abundant life. But you know what I have to have? You know what you have to have? In order to enjoy the life that God wants you to have, you've got to care. You have to care about Him. And you have to care about other people. You know what Jesus called that? That's the first and the second great commandment. You love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself. Lots of us are building the reputation of someone who doesn't care. Do you have your Bibles open to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2? Here's how wisdom describes that. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. We used that last night to say, well, that's Facebook in 2018. Fools don't care. Wise people, they do. What sort of reputation am I building? This idea of not caring from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 19, we can take it a step further. In verse 8, this idea of becoming callous, or in Proverbs 13 and verse 16, in everything, the prudent acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. What sort of reputation am I building? Number 4, am I building the reputation of someone who has surrendered to sensuality? We ran across that word in Ephesians 4 and verse 19. These people who do not care because they have a hard heart and they are living in ignorance of God's will for their lives. Therefore, they are alienated from God. Look at what happens in Ephesians 4 and 19. They've become callous. They've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. We don't use that word sensuality very often. All that it means is, if I feel like doing it, I'm going to do it. If I feel like sharing this, I'm going to share this. If I feel like dressing this way, I'm going to dress this way. And we already established why. I don't care. I don't care what you think. And so if I feel like dressing this way, I'm not only going to dress that way, but I'm going to take a picture of it and I'm going to share it for all the world to see. And if someone has a problem, well, the problem is with them because I don't care. And what have I done? I'm living in whatever way I want to live without any regard for the input of my Creator, with a hard heart. And what I want you to see is, 2,000 years ago, our Creator said, this is a bad idea. More than a bad, this is wrong. This is not life the way it was meant to be. What sort of reputation am I building? The reputation of someone who doesn't tell the truth. Ephesians 4, verse 25, we read, putting away falsehood. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Is what I'm sharing true? You know, on social media or on that email that has been forwarded 10,000 times before it lands in my inbox and it's inviting me to share it just along with everybody else because there's something juicy here that everybody in the United States of America needs to see. It is so very easy for me to click share or to click forward. Here's a question. Is that true? I mean, maybe it confirms what you have always suspected about that other political party. And maybe it would just verify suspicions you've had for a really long time. And you just feel like this is the red meat that everybody finally needs to hear. Okay, is it true? If it's not true, isn't that a big deal? Because a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And when you share that, your name is attached to it. When you forward it, your name is attached to it. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're called to put away all falsehood. Everything that you see doesn't need to be shared, especially if you're not even sure it's true. We tell our little children we are to be truth tellers. That applies whether we're 5 or we're 65. Go back with me to Proverbs chapter 12. What sort of reputation am I building? The reputation of someone who doesn't handle anger and frustration very well? You know, don't you? I mean, if I gave you a little piece of paper today and said, write down for me 5 people that you have learned through social media who don't handle frustration or anger well, you could write down 5 names, couldn't you? And I'll tell you why. Because every time someone cuts them off on the interstate, somewhere online, they have to document that and express their outrage, right? Hopefully after they have stopped the car, maybe not even then. Every time they go through the grocery line and some clerk is rude, they've got to blast that on social media. Every time they visit a local church and have some sort of a disappointing experience, they've got to smear the name of that local church for all of their friends to see. You could do it, couldn't you? You could list at least 5 simply based on what other people have shared all on their own. And I don't know about you, but there are people that I only know online. We've never met in person. But I've seen enough of them to begin to have some sort of an idea as to what's going on in their heart. Because by their fruits, whether it's spoken or typed, Jesus told us a long time ago, you get a window into what's in someone's heart. Which is why we were warned in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. You know what a lot of people are doing online? They're giving opportunity to the adversary, to the accuser of the brethren. They are doing Satan's work by being angry and sinning. Sinning in what they say. Sinning in what they share. You've got your Bibles open to Proverbs 12 and verse 16. You want in just a few characters. Social media for many people in 2018, here it is. The vexation of a fool is known at once. If I'm vexed, I'm going to let it be known at once in ways that Solomon couldn't even imagine. But the prudent has things that vex him, bother her, but they're able to realize that some things are bigger than me getting a little annoyed, even insulted. And I'm going to set that aside because I'm building a reputation. Am I building the reputation of someone who's willing to steal? Never been easier to steal than in 2018. Steal somebody's thought, steal somebody's ideas, steal somebody's work, share things that don't belong to me. Ephesians 4:28, we heard, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. Just because I know how doesn't mean it's right. Proverbs 20, if you'll turn in your Bibles there. What sort of reputation am I building? Am I building the reputation of someone who puts other people down? Maybe people that I know, maybe people that I've never met, but I feel very confident using this platform that I have, putting other people, listen, created in the image of God. Maybe we are on completely different ends of the political spectrum or the ideological perspective, or maybe we can't see eye to eye on some of the most basic ideas. But you know what's still true of that person? They bear the image of Almighty God. They have a soul that is going to spend eternity somewhere. And rather than being a light in a very dark world, rather than proclaiming the excellencies of Him who called me out of darkness into His marvelous light, the way that we talked about last night, I'm using this just to make them look as foolish and as bad as I possibly can. That's how people who don't believe in God act. That's corrupting talk. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Well, what if they're a Roman citizen 2,000 years ago? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. What if they reign in Rome? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. What if they're in the wrong? Well, let's talk about what's wrong. Let's expose what is darkness, but in a way where our talk is not corrupting. You speak as disciples of Jesus only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. What a great goal for everything that we say with our mouths and everything that we say online. I want this to give grace to those who hear it. Because in the language of Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Proverbs 29, if you want to turn in your Bibles back there. What sort of reputation am I building? Quickly, the reputation of someone who gives full vent to his or her spirit. You know what full vent is. If you're spending the night in a room and it's a little cold and the air conditioning's on, you close that vent. If it begins to get a little stuffy, you open that vent. If you're like my wife and she really does not like to be hot, maybe you get frustrated and you just take the vent completely off to make sure that, I mean, that hole is as wide as it can possibly. You're giving full vent. No filter. A lot of people somehow have convinced themselves, I need to have a filter when I'm eye to eye with you, but when I'm eye to screen, somehow that's different. We said last night, it's both just as real as can possibly be. It's coming from the same heart. We read from Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Because in the language of Proverbs 29 and verse 11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit. Just because it's on my mind doesn't mean, number one, it ought to be there, and number two, it ought to come out. That's the pathway of a fool. A wise man quietly holds back. Or Proverbs 17:28, even a fool who shuts his mouth sometimes looks wise. Just because everybody's talking about it doesn't mean it's wise to talk about it, especially on social media. Am I building the reputation of someone who is immodest? We heard in Ephesians 5 and verse 3, sexual immorality, all impurity, covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And you've seen it if you spend any amount of time on social media, just as surely as I have. You've seen, have you not, how people really dress. By the pictures that they share. And somehow we convince ourselves, well, it's okay if I dress modestly and attend services like this and I'm here with other Christians. But then when I'm out in the world, somehow it's different. Or when I'm on vacation, it's somehow different. Or when I'm at the beach, somehow it's different. Well, what's immodest is immodest regardless of where I am or what the temperature is. And every time I share a picture, I'm building a reputation. Here's the will of my Father for my life. It's a question of whether or not I will apply. Am I building the reputation of someone who has a filthy heart? Ephesians 5, 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. Not everything that the world finds funny, children of God ought to find funny. Blasphemy isn't funny. Laughing at God, laughing at Jesus, laughing at the church for which He gave His blood, that isn't funny. Sometimes Christians are ones who will just keep that sharing snowball going right along without any thought for maybe what's out of place. When I attach my name to it, I'm building a reputation. Am I building the reputation of someone who is not and may never be content? Someone who is using social media just to voice everything that I don't have that I wish I had. You know, I'm comparing my very ordinary life to some celebrity's photoshopped highlight reel that is more fake than real. And the more that I look at it, the more discontent I am. I convince myself I married the wrong person. I live in the wrong place. I have the wrong sort of kids. We don't have the right sort of budget. We don't live in the right sort of house. We don't drive the right sort of cars. Because everybody else has this. And I'm just going to use this to emphasize how unhappy I am. The Bible warns that that's idolatry. That says something about the way I feel about God, from whom every good and perfect gift comes. Am I building the reputation of someone who shares just what is shameful? Ephesians 5, verse 7, don't become partners. At one time you were in darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk like it. The fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part. That includes what we share, what we retweet, what we forward. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. It is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. You see, I hope, where all of this is going. Here's the better way. Here's the way of Jesus. Here's discipleship in the digital age. Am I building the reputation of someone who's an imitator of God? We'll end in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Someone points out something I shared that isn't true. Am I willing to own that? Say I'm sorry? Am I willing to correct that? Am I just going to delete that comment that I needed to hear all along? It says something about the state of my heart. Forgiving one another. Am I willing to do that? Because God in Christ forgave me. This is at the heart of what it means to be imitators of God, His beloved children in God. Walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. What we need to be willing to ask as individuals, what we need to help our children and our grandchildren see is, your name is attached to how you conduct yourself online. What sort of reputation am I building? And how do my actions reflect on the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I appreciate your very kind attention this morning. Let's draw this session to a close, and then we'll take about a 10-minute break or so. If you'll bow with me in a word of prayer, then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank You that You are a God of light in the midst of so much darkness. We thank You that You are a God of grace when we all know what it is to take missteps, to step in the wrong direction, to not make You proud by the way that we live. We thank You that You are a God of mercy. And we pray that our hearts would be tender, that we would realize how serious the steps that we take are. Help us to appreciate the influence that each one of us has, and the power and the potential of a good name, a redeemed name. Help us to grow in wisdom, help us to grow in character and in courage. Help us to be willing to be different, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we pray for Your forgiveness and Your grace as we realize how very often we need Your help and Your forgiveness. We pray that each one of us would shine as lights in the midst of this dark world. And we thank You for that privilege. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.